Thank you, my brother and my brother. He's two times my brother, brother in the Lord and my own blood brother. Praise be to God. What a joy, again, a Wednesday evening that God gave us to be in the land of the living and to come to His holy presence, to spend some time, which is quality time, in the presence of our Lord. Today, as we all know, we'll be exploring some spiritual nuggets from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. So I would request young and old, if you could open your Bibles with me, the dear ones in Zoom as well, as we look into Proverbs chapter 27. Before we get there, you know, the moment I was asked to take this potion for meditation, and I opened the words, the first words, and the thought that came to my mind is, whenever we read the word or we open the word of God to receive what God has for us, it is as if the author of that potion is coming right in front of my eyes or your eyes and saying these things or the scriptures to us. If we have that kind of an attitude and that thought in our hearts, what came to my mind is when we read Psalms, every psalm we start off, the author of the psalm is praising God, for example, or reflecting on God's faithfulness in his life. Example, Psalms 121. What does Psalms 121 say? I will. Everybody's very quiet. Everybody's kind of quiet. Let's have a kind of a dialogue. What does Psalm 121 say? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. And if I have the author of the psalm coming to me and telling me that, I will be so encouraged. Because there are times in our lives when we are like weak in spirit, and a man of God approaches us, look to my face and say, hey, I looked to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My helps come from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And we have Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack in anything because he is my shepherd. These verses would encourage our hearts when somebody comes, the author of the psalm, just imaginary, okay? The author of the psalm comes to my face and tells me, and y'all can say amen, right? That encourages us. But now, with that context in mind, shall we look to chapter 27, starting with verse 1. What does it say? The writer of the Proverbs is coming to my face and saying, do not boast about tomorrow. It's just starting off right on my face. How do we take that? So that is how I was convicted when I started reading this portion, Proverbs 27. So with those thoughts in our hearts, our Lord is willing to talk to us this evening from this proverb. And let's have a receptive heart to listen to the Lord. So let's read one by one, and I would encourage, it's normally human nature to just go through it, not really deep diving to each verse, but let's take a little extra effort. I would urge our dear brethren to go through each verse, because we are running short of time, 20 minutes, 27 verses. I don't think I'll be able to cover all, but as the Lord leads. Verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel, and anger a torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest, is a man who wanders from his place. ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is a surety for a stranger and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him, a continual dripping on a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grabs oil with his right hand. As iron sharps iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat of its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. And let me, in the interest of time, let me just quickly go to verse 21. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Let me go quickly to verse 23. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lamb will provide your clothing, and the goats the prize of the field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. My family says that many times when I speak in the pulpit, I tend to explain and take way more time than that is needed. So I have written down the pointers, just hardly 15, 17 minutes in front of us. So Proverbs, as we have already reached 27, a lot of spiritual truths, a lot of encouragements we have been receiving for the past 26 weeks. So Proverbs, as we all know, that it contains deep spiritual insights drawn from experience. And the writer of the Proverbs, which we all believe is Solomon, starts looking at me and each one of us, just imagine, and saying, do not boast about tomorrow, for we do not know what a day may bring forth. It is like a spear coming right in front of my heart. You know, many times we find comfort, or I don't know whether that's the right word. We are geared to more looking at others with one point and not knowing that the other three fingers are looking at us, right? Or pointing towards us. But we still think, hey, I'm not a person who's boasting about tomorrow. I take it day by day. But many times in our lives, we have to confess. There are some things that we do in our lives that we certainly boast about tomorrow. You know, when I was convicted from this verse and another verse from the book of James 4, verse 13. I'm not going to read it. If somebody can read loud and clear for me, so while they are taking the verses, I can still ponder on the point that I'm trying to say. If somebody could just take James chapter 4, verse 13. You know, when we talk about the future, for example, I'm going somewhere next week, or next week I'm going to buy something, or I'm going to travel to this place, or I'm going to come back next week. How many times or how often do we say, if that is God willing? I know in our hearts we believe that, and it's all in the perfect will of God, but it's a time to look into your hearts and not just saying God willing, but do we really have that thought in our hearts that I will be doing or I will be going to such a place if it's God's will? I would encourage everyone, including myself, that every time we say something about the future or tomorrow, or I'm going to start a job tomorrow, let us make that as a practice. It will be encouraging for the listener as well. I'm starting my job tomorrow, God willing. Just an example. Can you please, someone, read James chapter 4, verse 13? Amen. What does it say? It's very crystal clear. We don't have to explore deep dive or anything into that verse. Let's keep God the center of everything that we do in the present, and let Him be the center of everything we do in the future, with God in front of us, and if it's a will of God. All right, let's go move to verse 2. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth. A stranger, and not your own lips. Another practical implication is what the author is trying to touch our hearts with. Let another man praise you. Why are you praising yourself? And it spoke to me directly. Many times in our lives too, we tend to self-praise. And not through our words, but sometimes through our actions, through the mannerisms. Many times, we have to confess. We rob God's praise. It's a little hard word, but that's a fact. We rob God's praise that He's due. And let not that happen in my life and your life, that we do not self-praise, but we give room for God to work where another man would praise you and me for His glory. Amen? Let that be a thought that would rule our hearts. And I have heard that, I don't know whether you have heard the old saying, like somebody said before, I'm so proud to say, I was already laughing, I'm so proud to say that I'm the most humble person on the face of the world. What a contradiction, right? I don't know whether you have heard of that. I'm so proud to say that I'm the most humble person on the face of the earth. That's sometimes how we act in our lives as well, right? Including me too. So let us make it a habit to give God all the glory and praise. And with anyone else, a brother or a friend shares or testifies about us, it's not for our praise, but for God's glory. Now let's turn to verse 3, which says, a stone is heavy and a sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. And it goes on to saying, wrath is cruel and anger is torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Now, we interchangeably use the word anger and wrath. But have you ever thought what is the difference between anger on one side and wrath on the other side? It's an emotion, right? Anger is a strong feeling that comes from our displeasure to something. It is a feeling in our hearts that generates due to a displeasure. And wrath is when you're acting on it, right? If I get angry with something and I pause for a moment and hold it to myself, it is not wrath. But when I get angry with somebody and give a spank to that person, that is a wrath coming out of anger. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the biggest flaw in the Christendom. Let me say, as you all know, that in the spiritual circle, sad to say, due to anger, emotional burst of that displeasure, we have conflicts, frictions among brethren in these days. Let me urge you, brethren, this evening, when we face these scenarios, when we face this test, let me put it that way, this is a test. When we face that test in our lives, when somebody comes and provokes you to anger, let us take a moment, take a deep breath. I do that. I strive to do that for the glory of God. When I get to the moment of getting angry, I'll take a deep breath. I tell myself, Ranjit, calm down for a minute. And then you still want to get angry? You do get angry, right? If you do that after a minute, 99% sure you won't be angry. So this is a small tip for you all that, including myself, I wanted to share. So wrath is when you put into action the anger that is in your heart. The temper and the anger of a fool are harder and to endure than the material weight. A stone is heavy and a sand is weighty. So let's assume a rock If it's so heavy, the word of God says anger is much, much heavier than that. Trying to make you and me understand the importance or the impact that can create from being angry. And the word of God says in the New Testament as well, in your anger, what? Do not sin. Amen. Being angry is not sin. But in your anger, you kind of harvest or you kind of ponder on that anger and turns into wrath. Absolutely, that is sin, according to the word of God. Verse 5, let me quickly go. Verse 5, it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It was a big insight for me. Many times we read through these verses. Can you imagine somebody saying, hey, brother, open rebuke is better? Have you heard anybody say that? Nobody has ever told me that. You know, these are verses that really, you know, strikes my heart when I went through those words. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. There are two pointers I wanted to make here. And again, I'm going to the point so I don't explain too much and take time. Open rebuke is interpreted as being straightforward. So let's say you have a dear brother in Christ, okay, who you love so much in Christ, and a person who openly rebukes. It's not open. I don't believe that open rebuke is like calling in front of the congregation and say, hey, you are this, you are that, and rebuking. No. Open rebuke is that openness that you willingly offer to the other brother in Christ for him to come to you and rebuke you so that you make your path straight in the perfect will of God. The other person who's rebuking you, when he does that to you, you should have the feel of love that is coming from the rebuke. A typical example is a father and son, right? Fathers, we are all fathers here. We rebuke our children. Why? Is it because we don't love them? No. We love them. And in their best interest, we rebuke them. And that's on one side. Now going to the flip side, a comparative thing that the author is writing here is then love carefully concealed. How can love be carefully concealed? What the scripture is trying to say here is it is better than love not expressed. And that is the last thing that you and me can do to anybody that we interact in our family life, in our church life, in our work life, in our human life, let me put it that way, in a general note. If we say that we love somebody and we do not express that love or demonstrate that love, it is open rebuke better than that. Dear brethren, many times we have to confess we have failed not in loving somebody, but expressing our love to somebody. A father to his child, a brother to his co-brother, a sister to her co-sister in Christ. We have failed. Have we failed? And who is the greatest example for that agape, unconditional love? Everything takes us to our Lord. Now, this is something that really, many times we overlook this verse, right? For God so loved the world, so loved the world, through his words? No. He expressed his love when he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. So he gave so that we would achieve something, or not achieve, we would gain inheritance to the kingdom of God. That is what is love. Love demands expression, right? Does anybody disagree with me? I don't think so. That's what the word of God says here. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. And it says, if somebody could turn, in the interest of time, I just want to read one verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, if somebody could turn for me, please, and read that verse. And dear ones who are on Zoom, you can also read, opening the scriptures. Amen, brother. Thank you. God demonstrates his love for us. He didn't say by his words. He expressed his love. He demonstrated his love. While when we were deep down in the pit, he plucked us out. While we were yet sinners, our Lord loved us by his action, which proved his words for us. Amen. And verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. This is a warning. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. True love causes wounds. You know that, right? If you have a brother who loves you, there's going to be a wound. You know, it's a wound through a word or an action with the best interest of me in mind. It might be a wound, but the ultimate objective is out of love. In the interest of time, I'm going to just quickly go through. The next verse is verse 8. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. It's self-explanatory. I don't have to go through that. And verse 9, it says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. It's the same as verse 6 that we just read before. I'm going to jump in the interest of time. Verse 14, he who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. Did we know that? Brother Arthur was saying, yes, I knew that. Yes, we all better know that. Because it's our human nature, our frail human nature that prompts us to show off what we are rather than that simplicity of our Christian life. We are blessing. In fact, we are definitely blessing that person through praising and giving, but we want others to know, right? That's a human nature which conflicts with the spiritual nature. And what is going to happen to that person? It will be counted as a curse to him. Quickly going on to verse 17, as an iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. There are two elements here, one iron and another iron. There's impossible, absolutely impossible for one tool to become sharper without the help of the other tool, right? One iron cannot sharpen by itself. It needs the assistance. It needs the help of another iron to rub against it and to be sharpened. It cannot sharpen itself with a piece of bread or a vegetable or anything like that, right? But iron cuts vegetables, but it cannot be sharpened by a bread or vegetables. It needs iron. So that's how God has molded us as brothers and sisters in Christ, to have that interdependability with one another. If we are left alone, we are dull and quite useless, right? When we use the iron and start doing vegetables and cutting it for months and months, it will go dull. It's not going to be sharp anymore. So what a great verse that it's comparing our lives, our spiritual life, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, that how much we have to be interdependent to one another, spiritually, uplifting one another, encouraging one another, being there for one another. And I thank the Lord that we are placed in an assembly and we are placed in the Christendom to be examples for others. Verse 18. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. You know, as we all know, the fig tree is one of the oldest tree or plant that was planted by human for cultivation. And as I was reading, it takes around 3 to 5 years of constant take care of that tree to produce a fruit. And the farmer or the person who has planted the tree has to wait for a long time with patience, with endurance, not losing hope, for a fig tree to have the fruit show forth. So that's how it is with us. That's how what God wants us to do. So he who waits on his master will be honored. In Psalms 46 and verse 10, when we go through struggles, when we go through trials, be still and know that I am God. Amen. You know, as an answer to prayer, we always say two answers to prayer that God can possibly give. Yes and no. Right? Is there any more options in the objective question? Yes or no? There's one more. Wait. God says yes to one of our questions, probably no to another question, and he would say wait for the third question. So we have to wait on the Lord. It's hard. It's challenging in our lives, but let's, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, do that more and more in the days to come. Running to 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. I'm going to quickly go through it. The silver and gold value is extracted when it's put through fire pot or furnace, respectively. Likewise, a man's real character is revealed when others praise or provoke him. You know, we are prone to praise, right? We want somebody to praise us. When somebody praises or somebody provokes us to anger, how are we going to be? Is our jealousy, our pride, or our boastfulness, these negative attributes sprout out, or the positive in our Christian life? And verse 23 to 27, I'm going to read and just share a quick in 1 minute and be done. Verse 23, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. For the last verse, jumping into last verse, you shall have enough of goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maid servants. It says, know the condition of your household. As the head of the household, as we always say, you should know the condition of your household. When it says no, you have to be certain what's going on in your household. And one's wealth is dependent on the condition of his flock. If a sheep is not feeling well and you don't take care of it, it will die. And at the end of the day, you won't get the food or the wool that you need to protect yourself or cover yourself. So in all our times, act with foresight, being responsible stewards. Let me close by saying, especially from words 23 to 27, because life is short and our fortunes uncertain, we should be all the more diligent in what we do with our lives. We should act with foresight, giving responsible attention to our homes, our families, our careers, everything that we do. Thinking ahead is a duty and not an option for God's people. What a powerful chapter God has given for us this evening to explore that spiritual truths. And let's not be just hearers of the word, including me. Let's all be doers of the word. Read through it. That will empower our hearts, equip our hearts in this perverse generation that we live for the glory of his name. In his name be praised.